Have you made a restaurant booking recently? You may have noticed some changes to the information restaurants are asking for, including a requirement to hand over your credit card details so a fee can be charged in the event of a late cancellation or a no-show. The practice, which has been on the rise since the sector emerged from COVID lockdowns, means in some instances hundreds of dollars could be charged to diners if a booking has to be cancelled for reasons outside of their control. Consumer New Zealand Advice says restaurants are perfectly within their rights to charge cancellation fees, as making a booking creates a contract which places obligations on both parties, as long as they advise the customers about the costs at the time of booking. So is it fair enough, as the restaurant industry struggles to keep up with the pressures of staffing shortages and rising costs? To discuss, Marissa Bidwa, who is CEO of the Restaurant Industry Association. Hi, Marissa.
Hello.
And morena to Tash McGill, President of New Zealand Food Writers.
Morena.
Marissa, can we start with what's involved in these cancellation policies? Typically, what are restaurants requiring?
Well, look, I guess I might start with just saying that we have done some recent research around the number of restaurants actually taking credit cards when making a booking. And it is quite low at the moment. It certainly has increased, and I believe we'll see it continue to increase as well. But according to the research, we had over 200 members respond. Only 3% of those respondents said that they were taking credit cards for the booking. We are seeing it more and more with the online booking platforms that are coming out as well. But essentially, in the policies, it will outline generally a cancellation period. And those tend to be, depending on the size of the group, anywhere from sort of 48 to 24 hours notice of cancellation. Of course, if you're doing a larger sort of function where you're, you know, maybe booking out the whole venue, then the lead-in time will be much longer. You know, in some cases, it might be a week before the event that you have to come through with your final numbers.
Okay. It was a pretty, I think you just put a shout out, did you, recently for businesses to let you know what's going on. So you had how many?
That's right.
You had
yeah.
quite a few come back and say, but you know, how did you conclude it's a low number?
Look, we had of the 200 respondents to the survey, only 3% said that they were taking a credit card for all bookings. So when someone made a booking, only 3% of the respondents okay. said that they asked for credit card details.
So it's a question of whether the others decided not to respond, but that's fine.
Okay. Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Look, let's look at why they have introduced them. Is it simply that margins are so tight that, you know, one lost multi-party booking can knock over an evening's takings, for example? What's happening?
Yeah, and that's a really interesting question there as well. The survey also from our respondents, 61% said that they had seen an increase in no-shows or cancellations over the past 12 months. And yeah, the impact of a cancellation on a business can be quite significant. You know, we're dealing, our businesses are dealing with perishable goods in their businesses. They have fixed costs when it comes to staff. And if you're, say, if you're a 30-seater and you have two people not show up for the night, you know, that ends up being 8% of your takings for the night. So when you kind of break it down, you know, it depends on the size of your business as to how much that will impact your bottom line. But the losses can be quite significant.
So those that are charging, are they what? Are they taking a credit card in advance and then charging if there's a no-show and or in some cases too late a cancellation?
Yeah, that seems to be in the policies that we've seen for the online booking forms. It does tend to be anywhere from a 50% cost of the deposit that you will pay when you make the booking. In some cases, it might be more as well. But generally speaking, it tends to be around that sort of 50% deposit rate that is charged, and that deposit rate can depend how many people are booking at the time.
Right, so $50 a head is one anecdotal one that I've heard of late, and that might not be far off a 50% mark for, you know, a pretty full night and drinks and everything else. The legality of it, there's no question of the legality of charging people's credit cards. Do you need to have made clear there will be a cancellation fee?
Well, look, we definitely let our members know that they do need to be upfront about what the policy is. It's really important, that there are no surprises when it comes to those sorts of things. So, that's something that we talk to the industry about to make sure that if they are going to be charging something, that it's really clear to people at the time they're making the booking, what the expectations are.
Some of them are getting quite complicated with what they're asking of people wanting to make bookings. I guess there'll be a full variation between those who are really full on going into this, and those who are saying, on balance, we'll still give you the benefit of the doubt. Are we still seeing lots of cancellations likely related to illness, whether it's COVID or just a higher awareness of a member of a party being ill than we used to have? And is that still driving a fairly high level of either quite late cancellation or no show?
Look, I think in the grand scheme of things, that was certainly making up the majority of cancellations earlier in the piece, but feedback we've had from the industry that it's not as much as it was. And certainly, I would like to add that if in these cases where people have COVID, that there absolutely, in most cases, would not be any cancellation fees charged from the policies that we're aware of. So
Okay.
I just wanted to kind of make that clear.
Okay. Tash McGill, let's bring you in. What do you see happening?
We're certainly seeing much more talk about this as a policy, but as Marissa said, it's actually not being widely put in place by a number of hospitality operators. Where we are seeing it put in place, larger premium groups that already have technology enablement managing a lot of their online bookings. And so, the thing that I think drives it's an opportunity presented, I think, during COVID for a problem that's always existed in hospitality, the no-show, the late cancellation, that has always had an impact on operational costs and obviously day-to-day scheduling. This is it's provided an opportunity for operators to think a little differently about how they might recoup or recover some of those costs, particularly when all of the costs that are involved with supplying hospitality services are increasing behind the scenes. However, the most recent data came out of Australia from Res Diary. The reality is, it's difficult for the majority of hospitality businesses right now to actually implement some of these policies because, 44% of Australian hospitality venues are still running pen and paper booking systems anyway. So the added administration and complication of how do you take a credit card detail, how and when do you decide to manage it, to process it, unless you're technology enabled, it's really challenging for people to get there.
That's really
On the flip
interesting.
side,
I'm wondering, Tash, are we starting to see an increase around the margins because more businesses, clearly still many aren't, more businesses are moving to these online bookings where you book yourself, you book your own table time, you book your own table number of guests, and you have to tick off the T's and C's. Is that where, as you say, the opportunity perhaps is being provided to bring this in more, and perhaps why we are seeing and hearing more of it?
Yeah, there's certainly an opportunity using technology to do that. The technology itself doesn't solve the customer endearment and loyalty question, but the technology does make it possible. The barrier to implementing that technology is that it's expensive. It's expensive to onboard. You have to make decisions about how and where it interacts with your point of sale system. You then have to make decisions about how you manage walk-up policy versus booking only. And this is a really interesting shift back. For the last 10 years, there's been a kind of a trend and a fanfare about the walk-up restaurant. The anticipation and excitement for diners of never quite knowing if they'll get into depot on a Friday night. So this kind of shift back to booking, it's made much easier with the use of technology. But that technology is expensive, and you've got to think also about the merchant processing fees, which might sound small in scale, but depending on the platform that you are using to process those payments, and particularly those credit card payments, you might be paying, upwards of 4 to 6% of that booking, simply of that cancellation fee, simply to recoup it, not to mention the additional admin and technology time.
We're just getting some feedback here. One is interesting, and I'm wondering if the emailer has said PIN when they actually need the little number that's on the back of a MasterCard. It's a different number, a three-digit number.
The CVC.
Yeah.
One
saying here that they won't give away their CVC and my bank backs me up. One restaurant uses an online booking system they lease and staff have access to my PIN, they say, i.e. not a banking application. But I wonder if they mean the CVC number. You wouldn't be asking for a PIN, surely.
Absolutely
not. I wouldn't think so.
No. So maybe the CVC, which is that extra number you give on the back of a credit or debit card in some instances anyway. And this person saying the bank is saying, no, you shouldn't be handing that over either. Here we are with restaurants, one in Auckland, one in Christchurch coming in, $50 per person deposit required at these restaurants that are being named. On the data issue, look, is this something we're getting increasingly used to with whatever we're booking? Accommodation, we're doing a lot of online transactions, Tash. Are there issues with data protection, and especially if this is an immature kind of sector for doing this? In other words, people aren't used to doing it this way. Is the sector well enough geared up on the data protection side of things?
From my experience and observation, I mean, several of the technology platforms that are most widely spread they're well built, they're well constructed. Some of them have origin and roots here in New Zealand. The piece that I think is always going to be challenging to manage is a cross generational view of who the customer is and what the customer feels doing. So a customer may feel more comfortable making that deposit, but they still don't necessarily all feel comfortable with having those credit card details on file with that ability for a restaurant to take funds as they see fit according to the T's and C's. And so, you know, I'm sure I'm not the only person who occasionally gets a call from a relative. I won't mention any age brackets, but a relative saying, oh, can I put my credit card in this? Is this okay? You know, should I go ahead? There's a lot of caution, I think, still in the market, which is interesting because our membership, you know, 100% support and understand why hospitality operators would want to and are often justified. You could make a strong argument for that in wanting to secure the business that's walking in the door on a Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night. They understand it. They're willing to engage because they want to support those operators. But even some of our members have said, you know, it makes them less likely to book a venue when they're being asked to hand that information over.
They're more likely to
go walk up.
It's an interesting one. And there could be generational issues or, you know, perhaps put less judgmentally, just issues of people's comfort levels with online transactions. And you probably need to think about that with your own business and whether this works well for your customers or whether, as you say, it might be a bit of a turn-off. Interesting discussion. Thanks, both of you, very much. Tash McGill there, who is with New Zealand Food Writers, and Marissa Bedouin, CEO of the Restaurant Industry Association.